Praise the Lord, everyone. Are you glad you're in camp meeting 1997? Anybody here feel the Holy Ghost tonight? Anybody in the back feel the Holy Ghost tonight? I want you to raise both of your hands to heaven. And for at least the next 60 seconds, I want you to lift Him up from the depth of your heart. Don't ask Him for anything. Just love on Him a little bit. I love you, Jesus. I magnify you. I adore you. I honor you. I lift you up. Glory and honor belongs to you and to you alone. All power in heaven and earth is yours. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you. We adore you. We magnify you. We honor you. We glorify your holy name. You just start saying hallelujah. That's the highest praise you can give Him. Hallelujah. Don't say it to anybody else. Say it to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. 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 Get your Bibles, please. And let's turn to St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And I will read to you from verse 31. And then we will turn to Isaiah. Chapter 5, and we're going to read verse number 14. That's Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. I want you to know tonight, every man, woman, boy and girl, under the sound of my voice, that I have come to this camp meeting tonight with the single purpose and desire of reminding all of us that there is a heaven to gain and that there's a hell to shun at any cost. I want to talk to us tonight about eternity. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." If you have your Bible, read that one time out loud with me, would you please? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 14. The word of the Lord said, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Glory and their multitude and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding tonight. I'm preaching to the saved and the unsaved in this place tonight. I'm preaching to the Christian and the non-Christian. I'm preaching to the on fire saint of God, to the backslider that may be among us tonight. My message tonight is there is a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun at any cost. There are some of you here tonight, I am convinced, who have not yet made the choice as to where you will spend eternity. Don't let anybody say that I tried to sneak up on them. I'm coming through the front door, but I want you to know I'm going to do everything in my ability tonight to cause you to make a right decision and not leave this place without God. That's my desire tonight. I don't want you to go to hell. I've never met a man or woman that I wanted to see them go to hell. I've never had anybody do me enough wrong that I desired for them to spend eternity in hell. I certainly don't want anybody under this tent tonight to have to go to hell. I want you to join the hand with the person beside you. And I want everybody in this building to pray with me. Brother Hodges, would you step out here and lead us in prayer as we pray that God's perfect will would be done first and foremost in this service tonight. Everybody pray, please.
Heavenly Father, souls hang in the balances tonight of eternity. I'm asking that the unction of the Holy Ghost would fall upon the camp meeting preacher, that your anointed words would go forth without fear and without favor, and there would be a responsiveness from the heart to the preaching of your word. I pray, God, not one distraction in this building would hinder the preaching of your word. Let the seeds be planted deep in the souls of those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And let all heaven rejoice tonight as they see souls return to your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, open wide the gates of heaven in this meeting. We glorify you in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Everybody said, in Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. At the offset of this message tonight, I'm inviting every man, woman, boy, and girl under this tent to answer this question in your own heart. If the Lord was to return tonight, where would I spend eternity? If the trumpet was to sound before the clock strikes midnight tonight, would I spend eternity in a devil's hell? Or would I spend eternity in heaven with the Lord of glory? You see, every person in this tent tonight must answer that question for themselves. I wish it was possible that mom could answer, or dad could answer, or a spouse could answer, or a friend could answer. Because surely, if somebody that loved you had the opportunity to answer for you as to where you would spend eternity, I am convinced tonight that that loved one would choose heaven on your behalf. If they had the ability tonight to repent for you, this altar would already be full. If they had the ability tonight to worship for you, they would be on their feet right now, worshiping God on your behalf. If they had the ability tonight to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for you, they would be speaking with other tongues right now to receive it for you. But friend, it is not possible. If there's going to be a repentance, you're going to have to repent for yourself. If there's going to be worship to God, it's going to have to come from your heart. And if Holy Ghost is going to fall, it's going to fall on the individual that reaches out to God with an honest and an open heart. Shout yes! I would to God tonight that I could decide for you. If I could, I'd throw this microphone down now. I'd leap over the side of this altar and I'd pray through for every one of you. But I can't do it. You see, salvation is a personal thing. Where you're going to spend eternity is a decision you have to make. I don't care how spiritual your wife is. I don't care how many hours a day she prays. I don't care what position your husband holds in the church. I don't care what your mom or your daddy's last name is. I don't care what your talents are. It doesn't matter what your abilities are. If you're going to go to heaven, it's going to be because you decide you're going to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to Him. And you're going to turn your back on Satan. And you're going to turn your back on hell. Somebody say yes. I'm preaching tonight with a sense of urgency in my spirit. When I got home this afternoon from being in service and a time of fellowship with dear brother and sister Price, we had a wonderful time of fellowship. But my wife and daughter can tell you that when I got to the room, I was a bear to live with this afternoon. There has been a sense of urgency that has been in and on my spirit. There has been something that has gripped my heart today. I've got a feeling I'm preaching to somebody tonight that it's going to be heaven or hell. The decision is going to be made tonight. I've got a feeling I'm preaching to somebody that's been flirting with the world. Somebody that's been living too close to sin. Somebody that's been running from God. And tonight you're going to have to make the decision whether you spend eternity with God or eternity in a devil's hell. You hear me tonight, friend? Time is short. Could anybody in this place doubt that Jesus is coming again and that His coming is very soon? Even if you do not believe that the coming of the Lord is soon, there is not one man, woman, boy, or girl here that has any guarantee of tomorrow. What if the Lord don't come tonight? That still don't mean you're going to get up tomorrow. There's nobody here. I don't care how much money you've got in a bank. I don't care what kind of education you have. There's nobody here that can stand to their feet and say, "Preacher, I guarantee you I'm going to get up in the morning when the sun comes up." None of us have that guarantee. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. My first church I pastored at 19 years old. I pastored in New York City under the leadership of Brother John Hopkins, who is a great missionary in the United Pentecostal Church. I was assigned a gentleman by the name of Johnny Rivera to be an interpreter or translator for me, as much of our congregation spoke only Spanish. I have preached with translators all over the world, but I have never preached with a more anointed translator than Johnny Rivera. Johnny Rivera was the kind of translator that when you got anointed, he got anointed. When you shouted, he shouted. When you beat the pulpit, he beat the pulpit. When you stopped and talked in tongues, he talked in tongues. When I'd lay hands on people and pray for them, I'd talk in one ear in English and he'd talk in the other ear in Spanish. We saw many people receive the Holy Ghost. We saw great miracles performed as we worked together in this capacity. My wife and I were married at age 20. I left the church in New York, was gone for more than a year, and was invited back by the new pastor later, about a year later, to preach a revival. I started on Wednesday, preached through Sunday night. Johnny was obviously not in church every night. His presence was not felt. He was one that had been a leader in the church, but he was not there any night of this revival. The new pastor didn't say anything about him. I didn't ask about him. Sunday night when I was done preaching, Johnny stepped inside the back door of the church. I never saw Johnny look like he looked that night. He didn't look like a preacher. He looked like a drug dealer. His hair had grown long. He had a mustache and a beard. His clothes were not modest. He had jewelry on, chains and bracelets and rings. And I made my way back to him and said, "Johnny, what is going on with you, man? You know God. You've had a relationship with God. You felt the anointing of God on your life. You've known what it was to walk with God and be used of God. What's going on in your life?" I asked. He said, "Brother Cunningham, I'm making more money than I know what to do with." And he pulled a roll of money out of his pocket that you couldn't put your fingers around. He said, "Look at all the money I've got." He stood back to the door and swung it open to the street, and there was a brand new Cadillac sitting at the curb. He said, "Look at my new car. Look at my clothes. Look at my money." I said, "Johnny, that don't mean anything. If you're going to be lost for eternity, those things don't mean anything." He began to weep. I literally took him by the arm and said, "Come and pray." He resisted, said, "Not tonight. I'm not ready, preacher." I said, "Johnny, God's dealing with you. You better pray through." He said, "Not tonight, preacher." I pleaded with him. Tears streamed down my face as I did everything but dragging down the altar. That man stood there and said, "Brother Cunningham, you're right. I know I need God desperately." He said, "I've got another deal that I've got to make. And soon as that deal is made," he said, "I'm going to walk away from all of it. And I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get back where I used to be. I'm going to get back in line with God and repent and get things right between me and God." I pleaded with him, but he said, "Not tonight." My wife and I went back to Virginia after preaching that last night of revival. It was about 2 weeks later on a Sunday night. Our telephone rang. It was after midnight. The person on the other end of the line was weeping profusely. They couldn't speak for several minutes. They were weeping so hard. And when they finally were able to speak to me, they said, "Oh, Pastor, something terrible has happened. Donnie was killed tonight. He picked up a hitchhiker. We don't know why, but the hitchhiker held a .357 Magnum pistol to the side of his head and pulled the trigger and blew his brains out. And now Johnny's gone. Johnny's lost. Do you hear me tonight, Western District? Do you hear me, teenage boy? Do you hear me, teenage girl? Do you hear me, Dad? Do you hear me, Mom? Nobody has a guarantee that you're going to have another camp meeting, that you're going to make it to another revival, that you're going to get to Sunday service. If God's dealing with your heart, you better answer God." Our society so anti-God, anti-church, anti-righteousness. And our society today, for the most part, rejects the concept of a literal heaven or a literal place called hell. And to a degree, I understand them out there feeling that way. But I'm ashamed to tell you that in many of our churches, United Pentecostal churches, we don't believe in hell like we used to. And we don't preach and sing about heaven like we ought to. It's preaching At a meeting about 6 or 7 years ago, I preached a message I entitled, Hell Wants You. And before I preached that message, while the audience was still standing, I said, turn to your neighbor, look him in the eye, and tell him, Hell Wants You. I was absolutely astounded, Brother Young, when the audience broke out in laughter. I watched men look at their husband with a smile, or look at their wives with a smile on their face and say, honey, hell wants you. I saw moms and dads look at their children, and while they giggled and chuckled, they said, hell wants you. I've got news for you, United Pentecostal Church. Hell is not a laughing matter. When you comes to where your soul is going to spend eternity, there is not a more important question that you will ever answer in your lifetime. I don't remember the last time I heard a message about hell. I don't remember the last time I heard a message about heaven. I don't remember the last time we sang songs, an entire song service about heaven and wanting to go there, and that's really where our home is, and that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. I don't remember the last time that we've been reminded as a church that there's a heaven to gain and that there's a hell to shun at any cost. I was preaching on eternity, and a man came to the side of the platform. He was an elder preacher, I'd estimate in his 80s. He was very feeble. He couldn't hardly walk. He just shuffled along. It was quite an effort for him to make it to the side of the platform. I don't think physically he could have come up on the platform. He motioned me to come down to talk to him. And when I got down close to him, I heard an old raspy voice that's been ruined by preaching. I saw a man that had given his entire life to preaching the gospel and digging out something for the kingdom of God. And with tears running down that old elder's face, he said, young man, as the evangelist of yesteryear die off, he said, hell doesn't seem nearly so hot and heaven isn't nearly so coveted. And I thought when that elder said that, what an epitaph against my generation. What an indictment against my generation, that we're not conscious of the fact that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun at any cost. I don't know how you feel tonight in the Western District, but you're looking at an old boy that's got his mind made up. I'm not going to go to hell for anybody or for anything. I'm going to go to heaven, whatever it costs me. Just today in my hotel room, I read a magazine called the U.S. Catholic Magazine, and there is an article in that magazine entitled, What Lies Beyond the Grave. I was astounded knowing what I was going to preach tonight as I read a quote from this article that said, the old fire and brimstone idea of hell seems to be on its way out in our modern society. And as for heaven, it said, it apparently is a great place for a picnic. It's a sylvan setting where the never has a rain or a cloudy day. I've got news for you, sweetheart. There's more to it than all of that. I don't care what the religious world says. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says. I don't care what any other denomination says. There's a hell that we better shun, and there's a heaven that we better make, no matter what it costs. Reader's Digest published a survey. 10,000 graduating seminary students were asked if they believed in a literal heaven. and a literal hell. Only 11% of the 10,000 surveyed, only 11% said they believed in a literal heaven. 89% no. Only 6% believed in a literal hell, while 94% said there is no hell. My wife and I were driving late at night. We heard a late night radio talk show interviewer interviewing a lady that pastors a church here in California. A lot of movie stars goes to her church. And as they were interviewing her about salvation, she was trying to explain that there is no plan of salvation. They tried to interview her about right and wrong, and she said there are no distinct lines in the day that we live in. Right and wrong is all a hypothetical situation, or it's just something we have to figure out as we go along. Every situation, she said, is different. What do you believe about heaven? She said, I don't believe in streets of gold and walls of jasper and a gate of pearl, if that's what you're asking. And she said, neither do I believe in the brimstone and the fire and the gates of hell. She said, heaven is if you have a good life here on earth, and hell is if you have a bad one. No wonder people today are living with all sorts of sin in their life. No wonder people can make fun of God and righteousness. No wonder people can make fun of the Word of God. No wonder people have lost respect for the man of God. No wonder people have turned their back on the church. No wonder children today are living like devils. No wonder today our society is turned upside down. Our preachers have quit preaching that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I think it's time to remind our world again that you better not go to hell. You better get ready to go to heaven. Whatever you got to do to go there. I was riding by a businessman on the airplane. We were talking about the things of God. We began to talk about the coming of the Lord and eternity. And this businessman looked at me and said, Reverend, I believe in heaven and I believe I'm going to heaven. He said, but I do not believe in hell. He said, there couldn't possibly be a place like the Bible talks about as being hell. Friend of mine, listen to me tonight. Just as sure as there's a heaven to gain, there is a hell to shun. Just as sure as there are angels of the Lord that will protect you, there are demon spirits out to destroy you. Just as sure as there's a place of everlasting joy, there is a place of everlasting fear. Just as sure as there is eternal life, there is eternal death. Just as sure as there's a street of gold, there's a brimstone path. Just as sure as there are walls of jasper, there are walls of flaming fire. Just as sure as there's a gate of pearl, the Bible talks about the gates of hell. There is a stark contrast between what awaits those who are prepared to meet God and those who are unprepared at the sounding of the trumpet or at the end of their life, whichever comes first. One writer said it this way, heaven is peace without pain, while hell is pain without peace. Heaven is joy without sorrow, while hell is sorrow without joy. Heaven is safety without terror, while hell is terror without safety. Heaven is light without darkness, while hell is darkness without light. Heaven is eternal life without death, while hell is endless dying without life. Heaven is a place of refuge without fear, while hell is a place of fear without refuge. Heaven is laughter without weeping, while hell is weeping without laughter. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, while hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. I don't know how many's here tonight 2,000, 2,100 maybe, 2,200, I don't know. But I want every one of you that are here tonight to know that you are the most privileged people in the state of California tonight. You are the most privileged people in the Western District tonight. And I'm going to tell you why you're privileged. You are the most privileged tonight because you are in a place where God is. You are privileged tonight because you're in a place where you have an opportunity to choose. You have the opportunity to choose where you're going to spend eternity. There are people out there that are going to end up in the morgue tonight of some city in California, and they're not in a place tonight where they can feel God. They're not in a place tonight where God can deal with them, and they don't have the opportunity that you have to choose where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know how privileged you are tonight? Hear me, my friend. Hear me. The choice should be the easiest decision you've ever made in your lifetime. Heaven, which is so wonderful, or hell, which is so horrible. She persuaded her boyfriend to come with her. The pastor said Sunday night after Sunday night, they sat on the back row of the church and they laughed and they played. They told jokes. They made fun. They made faces. They poked fun at whoever was trying to lead the service. The girl's daddy was the Sunday school superintendent and she was disrespectful to him. And mama played the organ and she was disrespectful to her. And just disrespectful in general to the things of God. And he said, one Sunday night, Brother Cunningham, I felt such a burden. And he said, I preached my heart out on that Sunday night. He said, I laid across that old pulpit with tears streaming down my face. And he said, like I've never done before. He said, I begged and I pleaded and I reached out for people that did not have a right relationship with God. And he said, when I was done preaching and closed my book, he said, that girl's mama come to the organ as she had done hundreds of times before. And she had found that old song in the hymnal, Why Not Tonight? Why not give your heart to Jesus? Why not tonight? He said, the boy and girl laughed and played. He said, with tears, I asked her to come to the altar. And he said, she laughed at me. Walked out the aisle, taking her boyfriend by the hand. Out the door they went in their car. They drove 1 mile from the church. And a dump truck run a stop sign. Hit their car broad sideways. Knocked the boy over 100 feet out of the car. Only scratches and bruises on him. But the girl literally was run over by the dump truck. By the time the word got to the church, that pastor and his wife and the girl's mom and dad hurried to the emergency room. There they found their little girl in the emergency room with doctors doing all they could do. Mom and dad pleaded for the chance to go in. They went in to see the little girl, and as they stood beside her, she was moving her mouth, and with just a whisper, she was trying to mouth some words. That pastor said her daddy got down right by her mouth, put his ear right by her mouth, and he said that little girl was mouthing the words, Daddy, give me the book. Daddy, where's the book? Give me the book. Where's the book? She wrote something in the book and closed it and put it back. That daddy ran out of the hospital, got in his car, drove to the church, found the book.
book, and when he opened it up to the song, why not tonight? That girl had taken a marker out of her pocketbook and wrote in big bold letters, "Just because I don't want to." Daddy got in the car and hurried back to the hospital only to find that his baby girl had slipped off into eternity. And little did she know that when God was reaching for her and she scrolled the words, "Just because I don't want to," that she was giving God her final answer. I want to tell you tonight that if God is touching your heart, you're a privileged man or woman. If you feel conviction, you are a privileged person. If God is drawing on you, you are a privileged human being. I pray that you will not walk out of here tonight without answering Him. My God. My God. My God. It is in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 36 and 37, that our Lord Jesus asked the question, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world, but he has to lose his own soul to do it? Or what shall a man give," Jesus asked, "in exchange for his soul?" I want you to know tonight that these are questions that demand an immediate answer. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Or may I ask you tonight, Dad or Mom, what is it going to profit you if you gain the whole world, but you've got to lose your soul to do it? I'll tell you what the answer is when it's all said and done. When you stand before God, it's not going to matter who you are. It's not going to matter what you are. It's not going to matter how much money you have. It's not going to matter how much education you have. It's not going to matter what you drive, or where you live, or how you dress. What's going to matter is if you know Him according to that book. My heart is so heavy. I want you to hear this preacher tonight. Nothing. Nobody is worth going to hell over. There's never been a job offered that's worth going to hell over. There's never been a house built that's worth going to hell over. There's not enough money in the world that's worth going to hell over. There's no friend that's worth going to hell over. Young man and young woman, there's not a pretty enough girl or a good looking enough boy that they're worth going to hell over. I love my wife with all of my heart. She is the apple of my eye. She is my very best friend. I don't do anything I don't talk to her about first. And if that girl would ever turn her back on God, you'd look at an old boy that wouldn't want to live. If my baby didn't want to live for God, I wouldn't want to draw another breath. But I want to declare to you right here tonight that if she does, by the help of God, I'm going to go ahead and live for Jesus, because there isn't anybody or anything worth going to hell over. I was preaching at the International Youth Congress, and a young man came up to me after church. He looked all muscly and tough, a little bit taller than me and a strong-looking fella. And he come up to me, and he didn't actually poke me, but he acted like he was going to, just kind of poked at me. And he said, "Hey, preacher, I know what you're doing. You're trying to scare us out of going to hell." He said, "I want you to know I'm not afraid." I looked at that big old boy. I probably shouldn't have done it, but before God got a hold of me, I was a rascal. I reached over and grabbed him by the shirt and just pulled him up real close to me. I said, "Let me tell you something, tough guy. Just 60 seconds in a devil's hell, and you're going to would to God that you could come back to this service tonight and make another decision to live for God." Say, "Oh, preacher, if I live for God, if I come to the church, if I start to belong to the church, well, I'm going to have to quit smoking. I'm going to have to quit drinking. I'm going to have to quit partying. I'm going to have to quit the drugs. I'm going to have to give up my fashion wardrobe. I'm going to have to give up this and that and something else." I got news for you tonight, honey. You're never going to give up anything to live for God that He doesn't replace it with something that's 10,000 times better. I had a man come to my church. His wife and babies were members of my church. He come to me and said, "Preacher, if I belong to the church, I got to quit smoking. And if I belong to the church, I'm going to have to quit womanizing. And if I belong to the church, I'm going to have to quit taking drugs." I said, "Man, you're simple." He said, "What do you mean I'm simple?" I said, "Don't you know that when you go to hell, there are no cigarette machines in hell? There's not going to be any Bud Light in hell? There's not going to be any womanizing in hell? And if you got to quit smoking to go to hell, it seems like good sense to quit smoking to go to heaven." Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Is there anybody in here tonight that wants to go to heaven? Is there anybody here tonight that's got your mind made up you're not going to go to hell? Like the prophet of old said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I got news for you tonight. The Cunninghams are going to heaven. I
said the Cunninghams are going to heaven. I think we ought to clap our hands to Him. I think there's a little bit of heaven in here right now. I think there's a little bit of heaven in here right now. Somebody in this place, somebody under this tent, is fixing to turn their back on hell and wave over their shoulder and say, "Tell hell, I ain't coming. I'm going to heaven." Anybody under this tent believe the Word of God? I said, does anybody in here believe the Word of God? That old black book said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Honey, any day now, that trumpet's gonna sound, and in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're gonna be out of here.
Just a minute. The Apostle Paul said, Brother Price, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as quick as you can bat your eyes, it's going to be over. The Bible said, two will be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left behind. Two are going to be working in the field, one taken, one left behind. Two are going to be sleeping in a bed, one taken and the other left behind. And it's going to happen as quick as you can blink your eye. Everybody blink your eyes. Scientists said it takes 1/10 of 1 second. 1/10 of 1 second. Brother Hodges, my old grandpa used to preach about it. He said, we'll say Hallie over here and Luya over there. It's going to happen so quick. I want to be ready. I said, I want to be ready. I don't want nothing down here holding me back. I don't want nothing holding me down. I don't want any worldly ties. I don't want any worldly relationships. When that trumpet sounds, I want to be out of here. I said, when that trumpet sounds, I want to go to be with Him. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know where I'm going to be when Jesus comes, but do you know what I want? I want to be right in the middle of a red-hot apostolic service. I'd like to be on the platform in the middle of preaching. I'd like to be feeling the Holy Ghost and the trumpet sounds, and 1 minute I'm walking on a platform, and then 1/10 of 1 second I'm stepping on clouds. Oh, I believe this thing, church. I got off an airplane not too long ago. You know that you've been traveling too much when this happens to you. Brother Miles, I got off the airplane. I walked up that little jetway, walked out into the concourse, and I couldn't remember where I was. Brother Dross, it seemed like 30 seconds. I just stood there. I couldn't think of where I had come from, where I was going to. Am I supposed to be at this airport? Am I just changing planes here? The airport didn't look familiar. And I stood in that airport like an idiot, just like this. For about 30 seconds. It seemed like 30 minutes. Now, it's funny now, but it wasn't funny that day. It was one of the scariest feelings I've ever known. I didn't know where I was. I really could not make myself think, where am I? You see, my brain don't work like everybody else's does. Brother Art Hodges over there, my best buddy, he's got a brain like a computer. Now, when the trumpet sounds, and 1/10 of 1 second, boom, we're out of here, he's going to know where he's at 1/10 of 1 second later. Because he's smart. But when you get to heaven, and you see some big fat boy up there going, it's going to take. It may take me 1 second. It may take me 10 seconds. It may take me 30 seconds. But honey, when that boy figures out where he's at, when it dawns on me, I made it. You better clear me a path, sweetheart. When I figure it out, this is it. My God, I want to go to heaven! That old book said, God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Sweetheart, when I realize I made it, preaching about heaven one night, Brother Price. Go ahead and stay standing if you want. I'm about done. I was preaching about heaven and a guy come to me after church. He said, you're not going to get excited when you first get there. He said, the first 30 minutes in heaven is going to be dead silent. Now, I believe there's angels here right now. I've got a message for the angels to take back to heaven. If you want this 350-pound boy to be quiet for 30 minutes, you better not let me see Jesus. You better not let me see a street of gold. If you want me to shut up for 30 minutes, you better hope I don't figure out where I'm at. My God, have mercy. I got a whole lot more preaching I'd like to do, but it's time for somebody to turn their back on hell and get on the right road toward heaven. If you're standing beside somebody that don't have the Holy Ghost, grab them by the hand and say, come on. The preacher wants to pray for you. You're going to turn your life around tonight. Come on, reach out and get somebody. Come on, God's going to touch you tonight. If you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost and nobody's standing by you, don't you wait for them. You step out in the aisle and make your way down here. Throw up your hands and begin to repent of your sins and then begin to worship God and let Him fill you with the glorious baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to look, this altar's filling up. Come on, there's more of you. If you're here tonight and you don't know where you'd spend eternity, if the trumpet sounds,